All right, so everybody, welcome to the show. First off, we're going to go ahead and get started with the Ace of Radio All-Stars. Yes, we go out on the street and we ask your common, everyday person questions about anime and see how well they know their stuff, if they're up to snuff. And so let's just go ahead and cut right to that clip. All right, so here we are. We're out in Times Square. We're asking people that are passing through the area some questions about various anime. Okay, what's your name, sir?
George.
All right, George, sound like you got a frog in your throat there. Anyways, do you know what anime is?
Yes, I know what anime is.
All right, well, that's good, because we got some questions for you here. All right, first up is, oh my God, have you ever seen that show?
Oh my Goddess?
No.
That's what my wife says to me every night.
I bet. Actually, I don't even know what you mean, but, all right, so we got some questions here about the original OAV, okay? Now,
OA what?
All right, well, OAV, the original cartoon, if you will.
Okay.
All right, okay. So, first question, okay, what does Del Dandy grant Keiichi as his single wish?
A million more wishes?
Good guess. No, actually, it's to be with her...
Forever?
That's right, to be with her forever. Okay, next question. How many sisters does Del Dandy have?
Hopefully some extra ones for me.
Well, that's not exactly the answer I'm looking for. I'm looking for a number between 1 and 3.
2?
That's right, actually. Yes, he does have 2 sisters. Okay, so now we're talking with this lovely young lady. What's your name, ma'am?
Sarah.
Okay, and Sarah here says that she's part of her local anime club at her college. That's correct?
Yeah.
You want to plug your college real quick?
College Mines!
Okay, then. Alright, the questions here are about Kenshi Moyo. Now, I understand you're a pretty big fan of Kenshi. And, okay, so we're going to see how many of these questions you can get right, okay?
All right.
Okay, now, what is Kenshi's great aunt's name?
This isn't live, is it?
Well, actually, yes, it is.
Everyone at the club's going to kill me.
The answer actually is Ayaka.
I know that!
Because she's, you know, his grandfather's sister, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so next question here. Okay, now, what is Ryoko's spaceship's name? I'll give you a hint. Sometimes her spaceship is small and fluffy.
Marshmallow?
No, actually, that's not the answer we're looking for. You want to take another stab at it?
Fluffy Bunny?
No. It's a little Cabot. I'll give you that much of a clue.
I don't know.
No, I'm sorry. That's not the answer we're looking for. But thank you. Thank you for playing the game. All right, lastly, we have here, he's a dance performer. He's actually has a show on Broadway this week. What's your name, sir?
It's Sean.
All right, well, Sean, now we're going to ask you some questions about Sailor Moon. Okay, are you ready? Are you familiar with that show?
I'm not too familiar with it, but bring it on.
Okay, now, what is the lead character's secret identity?
Secret identity... Is it Sabrina? No.
That's her real name. That's the name she goes by.
Sailor Moon?
What? That's right, actually.
Yeah.
Sailor Moon is Serena's secret identity. Yes. Okay, now, how many Sailor Scouts do they initially show in the first season of the show? Also known as the Inner Senshi. Oh, so close. 5. 5 is the answer we're looking for. Now, what is Sailor Moon's daughter's name? And we'll accept either the American or Japanese answer.
I couldn't tell you.
Acceptable answers would have been Rini or Chibiusa. Chibiusa, of course, being the play on the fact that Usagi... Usa, Chibi, super deformed, Usagi, you see.
Oh.
But thank you for playing. Thanks for being on.
Well, thanks for having me. And be sure to come watch me at Broadway.
Oh, well, what's the name of your play?
I can't tell you.
No, come on. Go ahead and let us know.
No.
Don't worry. It's cool if you plug it.
I might get fired or something.
All right. The show's Cats on a Hot Tin Roof. I plugged it, so you're safe.
Okay.
So anyways, that's what we had for our ASO Radio Hall of Fame All-Stars. So let's go ahead and give all those people that participated today a big old hand for being on the show and letting us air that on TV, huh? Yay! Woo!
Those clever engineers.
But yeah.
Time for ASO Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, DJ NZ is in the house bringing you all down with episode 74, ASO Radio style, Bizet. And with me is my co-DJ, Dave Frey,
bringing us all the heat, baby!
Man, we got a good show lined up for you all today. We've got not one, not two, but more than that, reviews lined up for you guys. We got 2, 4, 6, 8 reviews all for you today.
8, baby, 8. Count them.
Yes, it's much, much, much fire. And also, we got coming up some hot licks with our anime news and some special ASO newsage.
Hey, and say,
what up?
What about those guys at the beginning of the show? They do what?
I tell you, man, they be tripping off some crazy shiznizzle. Hey, did I mention you? We got some hype fan mail this episode.
Hey!
I know it's off the Richter, baby. We even got fan art. And we don't always get that stuff as a bandy.
So you guys better be ready for this show.
Because we coming at you real hard, real quick. Right after this commercial message. Hey, you know, DB3, these mechas that were left over from that funny we did with Z-Guy about Xenosaga sure are useful for cleaning up the house, wouldn't you say?
Man, I didn't think I'd ever get that down.
Oh, I know. The laser blaster is great for getting rid of bathtub grind.
Man, I'm so glad we have those. You know, maybe we could tell everyone about these.
You know, I think we should put out a commercial telling everybody how useful home mechas are for doing all sorts of things. You know, last week, those Gundam guys living next door were getting mighty rowdy. I was glad I had my home mecha to go and slice them in half with my laser sword. Chom!
Man, the world would be so much nicer if everyone had these home mechas!
Oh, I know. That's why they should go and visit our website, homemechas.net, in order to go and place their own order. Delivery time estimate, 1 to 2 years.
And now it's time for the Any O'Clock Anime News.
Okay, DB3, I have a feeling that I'll be doing a lot of the work on the review section, since you haven't really seen most of the things we're going to review on this show. So how about you go ahead and start us off with the first two bits of anime news.
All right, anime news. This week, we have Warriors of Legend, Reflections of Japan and Sailor Moon, now available. Yes, that's right, folks. GenVid has announced the availability of Warriors of Legend, Reflections of Japan and Sailor Moon, a 148-page book that explores Tokyo's history and Japanese society through the lens of popular anime and manga series. This book can be purchased. That's right, you can go to and purchase this book.
Wow.
For $12.99.
Actually, that's a pretty good deal for a brand new book.
It is. At the Warriors of Legend website.
Yes, I think this actually sounds like a pretty interesting book because it's going and it's taking the Sailor Moon television series and using examples from that to go and explain Japanese culture. And I think Sailor Moon's a pretty good one to pick it with because it shows a lot of the day-to-day activities. And no, I'm not talking about the fights against the villains. That's not how it actually is in Japan.
Is it? They don't have the big monsters?
You know, I actually haven't been there, but I'm thinking...
You don't have a Doom Tree?
I'm thinking...
My world has just come crashing to an end.
I'm thinking most of the stuff in
Africa
happened in Japan. Alright, next one please, DB3.
Geisters hits a snag. Anime on DVD reports that volumes 4 and beyond of Geisters, the first release from newcomer Anime Crash, have been placed on hold due to something behind the scenes with the series, which could be anything from minor voice problems or
licensing problems,
copyrights. It could be lots of different things.
Terrorists. It's always... That's the stopgap these days. I mean, not the stopgap, the scapegoat for everything these days, right? Terrorists.
Or
terrorist prevention measures.
Terrorists made me do it.
Mm-hmm. So remember, you have to buy anime or the terrorists will win.
Yeah.
But seriously, we wish the best to our newest anime friend, Anime Crash, in their endeavors. Because the more anime localization companies, the better.
And hopefully they can help bring down some of the stronger death gifts others people
have. Well, you know, I really don't want Pioneer or Genion and ADV going and controlling 90% of everything. Okay, so, the ONA Anime Convention has announced Project Manga. Based on the Project Runaway TV show, Project Manga will allow aspiring manga artists to pitch their storylines and art to a panel of professional publishing professionals to receive guidance and advice for prose, and, if good enough, possibly a publishing deal with an America manga publishing company. So if you're inspiring mangaka and want to get your work published, be sure to go to the ONA Anime Convention.
Where's that one at?
Let's say Juneau, Alaska, because I'm not really sure. And, you know, on the one hand, I think it's important we let people know about this, but on the other hand, that is so a panel just to go and get publicity for that convention.
Yeah.
All right, so we have some good news now.
Yes, yes.
For our SG fans, Studio Ghibli, for those not in the know. DB3?
Well, as NZ and I pointed out, you guys were here then too, about how Disney should bring out more, or should spread it out a little to let us get more anime more often. I think they heard us, and so they're doing exactly that. This August, they're bringing out some more anime for us.
You better give the specific date there, DB3.
August 16th will be the date Pom Poko and My Neighbors the Yamadas are going to come out.
Yes, for My Neighbors the Yamadas, the cast will include Jim Belushi, Molly Shannon, Tress McNeil. Didn't we meet like a brother of hers or something at NDK?
I couldn't tell you.
Because McNeil just sounds familiar. Daryl Sabara, Liliana Mumi, and David Ogden Stiers. What do they got for Pom Poko, DB3?
For DB3 we have DB3. But for Pom Poko's cast, we have Jonathan Taylor Thomas, Clancy Brown, J.K. Simmons, Tress McNeil, Olivia DeBow, and Maurice LaMarche.
Yeah, so, I guess since we don't have too much news, we'll just go ahead and elaborate a bit on this. You might recognize JTT from Home Improvement. Clancy Brown was one of the voices from the SpongeBob SquarePants movie. J.K. Simmons was in Spider-Man and Law & Order. Not too many people that are on actual television for this one. Also, Tress McNeil is in The Lion King 1.5, which I ain't going to go there. and then Olivia DeAlbo was in Tarzan and Jane, probably as the voice of Jane, since in a lot of those sequels that Disney does, they aren't going to pay the money they paid for the original voice actors for their crummy sequels. Not that the voice acting's bad, mind you. I'm just saying that, as a sequel machine at work. And Lawrence LaMarche is from Kim Possible, so the drama. How about you go ahead and introduce what the others were from for My Neighbor's Yamada.
For My Neighbor's Yamada, Jim Belushi. If you don't know him already, he's in Snow Dogs. And he's also in According to Jim. Molly Shannon's in the Santa Claus 2. Trish McNeil is...
Well, we already did that one.
Oh, she's in both of them.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Daryl Sabara is in The Polar Express and Spy Kids. Liliana Mummy is from the TV show Higglytown Heroes. Have you ever seen
that? That ain't a kid's show. I'll go and buy sake for everyone.
And David Ogden Stias is from Lilo and Stitch and the acclaimed Spirited Away.
Well, you know, I haven't heard of any of these other shows, but Spirit Away, now that one I've heard of.
You've never heard of Snow Dogs?
I'm trying to be a smart aleck, you dork.
Sorry.
Okay, so anyways, we purposely cut down on the news this episode because we've got a new news policy that's in place. And this policy is basically, well, BB3, how about you go ahead and tell them what it is in essence.
Basically, we figured if you ever went back and listened to the old episodes, the news is old and you didn't want to sit and listen to all the news because you're like, this is boring. So we decided to cut back on the news, to take some of the more important ones, and to take some of the stuff that you send us, some of the anime news you guys like.
Yeah, so from now on, the only news that we're going to cover is A, really big anime news, you know, like major announcements of major anime movies or whatnot coming over. B, things that are really interesting and unique that we just can't pass up on just because, like that Pokemon killing that we reported on a while back. And also just stuff that's so prime for us to just rip apart and make fun of.
Yeah.
And of course, we encourage our listeners to go in and send in news bits that they think would be good to have us read on the show. You know, it doesn't have to be necessarily just about anime. It could be about manga or anime or manga-related video games. You know, something to fit in with the whole kit that we work here.
Yeah.
Okay, so like we got a bit of ASO news this episode to make up for our lack of anime news. First of all, as I'm sure many of you may have noticed, we have new ads on our show. And some of these ads are for real products. Some of these ads are not. Now, I know it may be hard to tell reality from fantasy, but we hope that everybody enjoys the fake ads that we put on the show as well as the real ads because, well, Acer Radio doesn't pay for itself at this point in time. We don't have anyone buying our merchandise, as sad as that is, because I think those shirt designs are pretty awesome. As a matter of fact, they're so awesome. We'll be selling them at NDK. And based upon the performance of the sales of the shirts and our CE compilations, we'll determine whether or not we'll continue to offer those on our website.
Yeah.
Anyways, so what we're going to be doing is we're going to have ads on the show. I think we mentioned this before, didn't we?
Yeah, I think we talked about it.
So we're going to have ads on there, and most of the time it'll be us recording the ads. Sometimes we'll get ad copy that the companies will want us to read, or they'll send us ads that they've already prepared. But we're going to make sure that they're very entertaining, at least as entertaining as the rest of the show. And they're going to be really short, too. There's only going to be one in between each segment, and they're not going to be longer than 2 minutes total in length. So it's not really going to affect the show that much. All right, so now I'm going to have DB3 do a bit of commentary about our very special episode 77.
Well, you see, episode 77 will be in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And as many, many, many people know, in a couple of weeks, there's a famous, famous movie coming to our area.
And it sure isn't Star Wars.
No, no. This movie puts Star Wars to shame. If you haven't figured out what I'm talking about yet, shame on you. Go to your somewhere and repent.
We're talking Star Trek. No, no,
no,
we're not. No.
We're talking Howl's Moving Castle.
Ah, yes. You see, for episode 77, we're going to take a special trip to Capital City and are going to watch House Moving Castle and put out an episode ASAP. For those out there unfamiliar with acronyms, that's for as soon as possible. As a matter of fact, the show, if we were to stick with our currently planned schedule, would come out on the 21st of June with our review of, the 22nd of June for Howl's Moving Castle. But we're going to move our review ahead to be on Saturday, June 18th, to bring you our review as soon as humanly possible. And granted, we could probably do it on the 17th, but it would be around midnight, so it'd be the 18th anyway. So anyways, yes, very special episode 77. I want everybody to look forward to that. And next week, we're going to be having episode 75. Yes, Acer Radio will be reaching another milestone.
That's amazing. And 75 episodes.
75 episodes. Can you imagine how much time we've had to spend watching, not just watching the anime, but recording the show and mixing it together? It's been a long road and a lot of work, but it's been a lot of fun. And not only that, but I'm thinking if, let's see here, this is, as of the recording of this episode, we are at the 21st week of the year. So we will, my calendar's off or something. Okay, anyway, we are at the 22nd week of the year. So that means, let's see, 47. That means we'll be having our 100th episode in November.
That's
100. And that is just going to be a real sense of accomplishment for all of us here at the show. So we're going to be doing just a spectacular, awesome show for number 100. But number 75 isn't going to be no punk either. That's going to be a mighty fine show in itself.
And if any of you were listening for episode 50,
you know how epic it can be. Not only that, fireworks. Oh, you'll love the fireworks. Maybe not the fireworks. Okay.
I like the fireworks.
Okay, so, let's see. We covered that. We've covered that. We've covered that. Okay, so, should we talk about our new subscription plan, or should we talk about the new look of the site?
I was thinking maybe about the subscription plan. Instead of talking about it, we can sort of put up like a page or some information on the website.
But we should mention it.
Yeah, we should mention it.
But what should we mention first?
Let's go to the new look of the site.
Okay, so we have a brand new look on the ASO Radio site. Now, I'm sure that many of you thought, geez, finally, it's about time. We've just been waiting forever for this to happen. And yes, it has been a long time in coming, but I think it's well worth it. And so I'm going to fire up my old web browser. Ironically enough, I'm firing up Firefox.
Haven't we talked about the website design before?
We have, but, you know, it's, as of this recording, it's almost completely finished. Before, it wasn't. So, okay.
So we're just going to go over the new stuff?
Yes. As you can see, the new website is an eBay auction for His and Her Circumstances manga.
You probably don't want to tell everyone about that.
Oh, wait, no, that's not at all what I wanted to read. No, don't think it's the Shinesman auction. No, it's not the Pac-Man game. Oh, okay, here we are. Never mind. Okay, so, here we are at the new ASO Radio website. Now, as you can see, instead of having a long list of links on the side, now we have a simplified site navy that provides quick links to all the different parts of the show, or the show's website, rather. And, of course, navy is a reference to Serial Experiments Lane, which every anime person should see at least one episode of that crazy show. Okay, so, what do we have here? First, the look, very different. We got Bandy sitting up in the corner. The site looks a lot more professional now. It's nice and centered, very straightforward on what everything is. Instead of just telling the episode number, now we brought back the old thing mentioning which season, which show it is. Very nice, very nice. Of course, we got the commentary, the episode summary, the poll. All the good stuff just brought in a different fashion on the main page. We might also bring back the fan art of the month because of our fan art contest winners. We'll just have to see how that works out, though. I don't know if I'll add that to the final design or not. So let's move along to something besides the main page. Yes, folks, that's right. NZ has actually finished more than just the front page. Is that not exciting or what?
Holy cow.
I know.
I think the site might crash.
Well, hopefully we get that much traffic. Okay, so we have a site map, first of all, that allows anyone that doesn't have a JavaScript-enabled web browser to easily go and find the different sections of the site. And also, if there's a search engine robot that searches our site and indexes it, it'll be able to get around, since the JavaScript would prevent it from doing that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we've got our complete, quote-unquote on the complete, episode archive available for people to go and listen to past episodes of Acer Radio. It won't contain all of the past episodes, but it will contain most of the newer ones. Eventually, we're going to do some more work on the episode archive to go and show off all of the episodes as well as, you know, the commentary and the reviews and whatnot that we did that episode. Okay, we also have the music sample section of the site up,
wow,
which has all of the samples that we've put on the show for our soundtrack reviews, but in higher quality audio, which I'd play one of those right now, but since we record in a low sampling rate, it would sound exactly the same, so we don't do that. Now, we also have up a legend for our reviews, so everyone knows what the numbers correspond to, like 5 for top recommendation, 1 not recommended, and all the other numbers falling in between. And I will be having all of our reviews up, including our manga reviews, soundtrack reviews, and video game reviews. Now, I might not have all those reviews up on the site in time for the new launch, but I have put together most of the back end for the site, so it will be much easier to put all those up than it was when I initially put up the anime reviews. And quite frankly, after this show, I think we're going to have so many reviews added to the database that it will double in size. I mean, we haven't put new reviews on that since, like, what, DB3?
57?
It seems like that. As a matter of fact, let's go and check that out real quick. And also, there's a new look on the main page of the ASO Radio website, but I just haven't, I figured, you know, people can check that out on their own. Anyways, let's see, ASO Radio, and, okay, so, I don't know why I'm going to all this effort, but, you know, where's, see, this is why I rearrange things into a nice, simple drop-down menu instead of a million links. Okay, let's organize these by episode number. Okay, so, yeah, we haven't put a new one on there since episode 58, outside of the one that I put on there as a test of the new system. Okay, so, yeah, it's been a bit of a while, I'd say. Okay, so, now, what else do we have here? Okay, so we have all of our reviews, we have past episodes, music samples. We have a nice page explaining what ASO Radio actually is, and for newcomers to the site. We have a nice page listing all the audio players that we can be listened to from different operating systems. And we have what's called JL GUI, which is a Java-based audio player, which is platform agnostic. Anybody that can run a recent version of Java can listen to our show even if there's not a player available,
wow,
for their operating system. And all they have to do is click on the Stream Embedded link at the top of the site to do that. And, of course, we'll keep our downloads and stream available as well. Okay, so, of course, there's our message board, but now we have a link to it. Probably bring more people to the message board now they know it exists. Of course, our fan mail page got a bit of a revamp, and we love getting fan mail.
Why do we like fan mail? And see, I've almost forgotten.
I'll tell you why we like fan mail. We like fan mail, and we like fan art because the fans make the show.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Speaking of
fan art section is now up, and, of course, this has been hosted in our Artist Alley for quite some time. But now we have a nice page describing both that all of our art is there, and also how to go and people can submit our fan art to us. We have a page explaining that, which is a very good thing. And of course, the winners for our fan art contest have their fan art featured on the front page of our Artist Alley.
Yep, so you better hop to that.
And I better be careful, because I almost hit the reset button there, and we would have lost all this show.
Oh, you better go and save it then.
Yes, yes. Okay, so, also I have the feature section up on the site. In there we have Asia Squad, our contest page, our convention coverage page, and our miscellaneous page. Now, the miscellaneous page contains ASO Radio's Guide to Common Japanese Words. We have the original Anifanatiku design, which is quite different from the current Anifanatiku design.
That's stuff.
I like the rounded corners, though, but obviously my experience and software available at the time showing the design of the site. Okay, so we also have our Bandiography, which is our interview / biography that we did with Bandy, which is very nice for people to get familiar with what Bandy herself is like. As we're getting a lot of fan art, and I think that it will really help with the fan art if they understand what Bandy's character and personality are like. And just a note for those aspiring artists out there, she's a dear fairy human cross, okay? So, you know, let's try to get that reflected well in the fan art we get. Okay, so, also we have our list of the top 25 all-time anime that we had seen as of 2000, which is kind of funny to see what we have on the list, because nowadays my picks would be quite different from what they were. And we have our Hibernation send-off, the little shockwave animation that explained the history of ASO Radio, which I recommend people check out. And in the future, I'll probably be adding some extra features to there, maybe even upload our profiles that we had on the old website, but update those to go and include more recent information. As I believe DB3, your favorite video games were listed, something like the Super Mario RPG and Chrono Trigger, I think, something like that. And you might have played some more since that time. So, we also have our convention coverage for NandesuCon 2001 up, which actually just has the link to our Artist Alley, because we didn't write a report for that year, because we weren't doing the show at that time.
Yeah.
And our nice review from Anime Expo 2000. I really like the redone design that I did. The old one was very plain, and it worked better on low resolutions. The new one works good on all resolutions. And I like all the pictures I have in there, because they're pretty cool. And my report's pretty good, too, if you want to know exactly what happened to us there. And I think the pictures kind of really look like slides on the last page. It's all the pains of dealing with cascading style sheets for layout. Don't even ask. So, okay, going back, though, to our features page, we have the page describing in detail our fan art, forum, and ASO Squad contests. ASO Squad, of course, being our promoter contest, people that help promote the show. And that, well, that should have links to our custom banners and clips part of the site, but it doesn't right now. But the ASO Squad page eventually will have links to there for people that want to go and promote our show. We appreciate our fans not only sending in fan art and fan mail, but going and promoting our website, because that brings more fans in the fold, and the more fans we have, the happier we are. Okay, and so anyways, everybody should check out ASO Squad if they want to help us out. We've got all of our past polls that we've had on the website before. So, for example, did you know that to the question, do you like Bishonen, we had 21 votes for EEP. So, that's very important knowledge to have, and
we also had 11 for yes, it's pretty. So, I'm scared.
Yeah, we had our live audience at that point on the show. Okay, and we have our links and credits page up, which links to some of the fine software that we use, thanks to you guys, you free Libre open source software guys, you, and some of the past conventions that we've done, and important anime resources that I think people would find useful. And also our band information page can be accessed from there. Because remember, you can feature your own band's music on ASO Radio. Because we like music, believe it or not. That's part of the big reason we like anime. Okay, and last but not least, for people that want to go and advertise on our site in the general information section, we have links to all the past ASO Radio press releases, and we have links to our advertiser information. Because while I find our advertisements that we have on the show right now absolutely hilarious, we can actually put real ads on there too that pay us real money. So if you know somebody that would really like to advertise on the show, or you'd like to advertise yourself, you should really go ahead and get a hold of us, check out our advertiser information page, and download our informative PDF, which covers, like, stats and crap. But probably not that interesting to regular people.
Yeah.
All right, and that, in essence, is our new site design. And we also have a handy link to our What's Up newsletter. People should subscribe to that so they know when ASO Radio episodes come out and all that jazz. Even though I can say at this point, and that's about it, it was a lot of work putting all that crap together. So you guys better appreciate it, I think. Okay, so, that was a lot of stuff, huh, DBT?
Yeah.
Okay, well, now we're really dragging out our news section, so I think it's time we quote-unquote move on to our anime review.
If you're like me, you got really excited when World of Warcraft had that April Fool's joke, how rude, about going and being able to order Panda Express from your own home while playing the game. Well, I've got good news for you, because we've upped them on that level. You can order any food that you want by using our brand new Ramen Express button. This button, which you order for only $1.95 through the mail, goes and attaches to the front of your DVD player. As we know, many of you out there enjoy watching your Japanese animation and can't be bothered to go out and stop at a fast food restaurant, as you'd have to interrupt your session. And really, when you're watching Evangelion, you need to keep attention to what's going on, because you could get lost. So do what I do. I attach the button to the front of my DVD player. When I'm hungry, I push it. The virtual menu displays over the screen, allowing you to select from a variety of dishes. Top Ramen, we got that. Sushi, we've got you covered. We even have the finest sake. So all you have to do is push the button, make the menu selections, in under 30 minutes, we will be there with your meal hot and ready. And of course, our sake comes in both cold and hot styles. So be sure to go and mail in your $1.95 to Taku Vision, that's 103629 Valley Lane, Arkansas, USA.
It's not a new view, it's not a preview, it's a review. Anime review.
Okay, well, I hope you all appreciate that special message from our sponsors. Okay, next up, we have our anime reviews.
Yay, the anime reviews.
Anime review! Okay, first, I'm going to review Dokoida, actually all three volumes. Then DB3 is going to tackle Kaleido Star Volume 1, probably have a bit of chirping in from me. And then we'll wrap things up with Maisen Ikkaku and His and Her Circumstances, which we've reviewed before, but this will be DVD number 2. Okay, so, first up, Dokoida. Now, what in the world is that one show called? You know, it's really popular in Japan, it's got the guy in the metal suit, and he's got the bug eyes. What's that called? Ultraman.
Oh.
Ultraman. Okay. And I forget what Ultraman was originally called in Japan, but it sounds a lot like Dokoida. It's something like Dakaida, I think. And so obviously Dokoida is making fun of Ultraman. But also, Dokoida stands on its own. The story is about a young man who, during Japan's recession, which is currently ongoing, is looking for part-time work in this big city that he moved to recently. He grew up in the country, moved to the city to go to college. And so he goes and he comes across this strange little girl that offers him the position of being a superhero. Well, as it turns out, the Galaxy Federation, or whatever they were called, are going and they're soliciting two different corporations for a battle suit to use for their soldiers. One of them is the Toys of the World toy company that builds the Dokoida suit, And then another rival company that builds the Nebuloid girl suit. And what they've done is they've decided the best way to go and decide which one is the best suit to go with is simply to go and have the heroes take on villains. So they employ three Class A criminals to go and fight Dacoita and Nebula Girl in order to go and determine which power suits the best. Of course, this is a lowly funded military project, and so all the superheroes and all the supervillains end up living in the same small apartment complex. The hilarity of this, of course, is that all of them recognize each other, but because they have, you know, their secret identity as regular people and then their superhero identity, they see each other as their regular ones, and so they're like, nah, that couldn't be him, or boy, that really looks like Nebula Girl, but that couldn't be. And so they're all living together in this house. So it has a pretty funny basic premise, but where the show becomes better than just your average comedy is there's real insight into the characters. You can actually see, for example, there's Edelweiss, which is one of the bad guys. She's actually just a little girl, probably about 12, we'll say. And she has a really big crush on the guy who's Dacoita. And this, of course, it doesn't exactly work out well, you know, as they're always fighting, but don't know it. But one of the things is she wants him to teach her how to go and peel an apple, because try as she might, she's not capable of going and peeling an apple all in a single peel, so that when you're done peeling, it just is in one whole continuous strip. And she feels like such a failure because she can't do this, just like she feels like a failure because she can never succeed as a criminal. All of her, you know, actions just fall.
All Japanese people feel like that. If they can't peel an apple with one peel,
hey man,
they're failures.
You're coughing all over my review here, man. So anyhow, as it goes along, the first volume is really great. The best volume out of the bunch. Then the second volume, it's like they're really trying to push for trying to get the popularity of the show up. So they do all sorts of crazy things, like one of them is supposed to be like this dream sequence that the android has that one of the mad scientist guy built. Another one is an obvious fan service episode where they are secretly doing a reality TV show showing what they're all doing. And so the second volume's pretty disposable. But the third volume starts off kind of on the same foot that the second volume left off on. But then the last two or three episodes really make up for it, bring the show together. They go and redeem themselves for what they did with the second volume, brings all the minor characters and all the major characters together into a story that binds them all, and just really pulls off an amazing recuperation. And the horrible part is that the series ends. See, it's one of those series that's really good, and you can see a lot of potential for continued additional episodes showing the day-to-day life of these superheroes and villains, which is the main appeal of the show. Obviously, the superhero appeal is a big part, too, but the thing that really keeps you watching is the individual characters growing together. And, of course, I don't want to say any spoilers or whatnot, but I really like the last two episodes and how they brought everything together and whatnot.
So, unfortunately, you're saying is they didn't follow it through with, as with Dragon Ball Z and Tenshimoyo and that.
Well, yeah, they really could have, it's a really short series, it's just one season long. And they could have had this at least two seasons long, showing what, you know, the characters do in their day-to-day lives, how they interact with each other, how their relationships develop, and of course their wacky fighting and hijinks. Edelweiss, for example, she builds monsters out of clay. She builds little clay ones and uses her like magic staff to make them grow in size. But whenever she makes a monster, it ends up just like being this cute thing that's horrible at attacking. Another one of the residents is this chick. She's into bondage and discipline. And her boy toy, she whips this unleashes like an animal spirit. And sometimes it's like a ferocious dragon or a tiger or whatever. Almost every time she whips him to create an animal to attack Dacoita with, he turned into something like a kangaroo or like not a polar bear, but like a seahorse or something. Just all sorts of crazy, useless things. And then there's the scientist who's all the characters I found really appealing. The only one that I didn't find super appealing was the bondage one. But even they had their moments, you know, funny moments, some touching moments. And they just all, they were really well characterized. You know, that's one of the things that really gets to me with a lot of anime and whatnot, right? Is they'll just pull out their big book of anime stereotypes, go off of that, and never try to go and develop the characters as a character, right?
Yeah.
So they could, like, pick just one plain stereotype or mix a couple of them together, but it's like they're just a flat character, and in their head the lights are on but nobody's home. There's no thought, but they just go through the motions. What makes to me a really good show is when the characters are so well defined that when they're not talking, like they're a silent moment, they don't know what to say, or they're reflecting on something or whatnot, you know what's going on in your head. You can practically hear what they're thinking in their voice as if they were going and delivering a monologue of their inner thoughts, you know. And that's what really makes the Koita special, is that it's able to go and you feel like you know these people, like they're your own neighbors, if you will. And that's part of the reason why you see it's so sad that it ends, is not only because there's so much more they could have done, but because you really feel like your friends move away when this series ends. Okay, so anyways, to wrap this up, Volume 1 gets a top recommendation, believe it or not. Volume 2, I'm going to go and give Volume 2 a neutral, but then Volume 3 brings it all together, and I'm going to go and give that one a highly recommended. So as you can see, all in all, a very good series, because we don't give out those top recommendations like candy to children.
Yeah.
Okay, so now let's go ahead and have old DB3.
Old? You're older than me, no. MZ.
Oh, there's a difference.
Oh, okay.
Cover, not older than you. cover Kaleido Star.
Alright, Kaleido Star is about a Japanese girl who comes to America to get in the famous performing circus. I'm not exactly sure what it is. There's a performing group called Kaleido Star. It's funny, like...
It's the Kaleido stage.
Yeah. But this is a really... I'll be going over the first volume. It's actually really well done, like... You got to meet the main character, and you also met, like, some of her friends, like... They brought... I'm not exactly sure how to say it, but you learn more about them as the story goes on, like... You relate to them. Like, one of them, she was having problems on stage because her grandma was having a surgery, and... I don't know. It's really well done like that. I don't know.
Well, the show, basically, like DB3 said, is about this Japanese girl who comes to America. When she was a little girl, she got to go and visit the Kaleido stage. And ever since then, she was so impressed with it that she wanted to be part of it. And all her life has been training as a gymnast in order to go and make it. When she first shows up, she ends up being late to the auditions because somebody stole her bag, and she's afraid she's not going to make it, but one of the people that saw her go through her acrobatic stunts in order to get the bag back was the president of Kaleido Star, the owner, and Carlos is his name. He was so impressed by her that even though she showed up late and didn't impress the main star, he allowed her to be on the stage anyways.
Yeah.
The first time, he let her go right on stage in order to go, because they were short one person. And so she got up there and got to be on the Kaleido stage the first day. But after that, she's reduced down to just being a regular person and has to work her way back on the stage. At first, they weren't even going to let her in, but she managed to pull off the, I believe it was Golden Phoenix move that the main star does, and is able to prove her mettle. She's not able to pull it off exactly 100% right, but because she misses the bar, but she does do the move perfectly outside of that, and so she's accepted as part of Kaleido stage. However, she gets ranked down to being just handing out the toys to the kids because of her performance on the stage and because there wasn't enough room in the follow-up cosplay that they were doing. Because all of them are like a combination. It's like Cirque du Soleil.
They sort of give like an underlying meaning that he was trying to get her to realize that all the parts were important.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think it was for something in the future. Like, she'll learn something from it, really important.
Yeah, and so basically the Carlos is kind of mentoring her because he thinks that one day she will be the reason why people will come to the Kaleido stages to watch her perform. And then there's, you know, the last two episodes kind of tie together into one storyline about, like, DB3 mentioned the grandmother and her surgery. And, you know, I don't want to tell the whole volume.
Yeah. The show isn't all, like, drama and, like, suspense like that. There is some funny parts, like, there's the spirit of the stage,
mm-hmm.
who, like...
Which only Zora can see.
Yeah, he's sort of like a peeping Tom. It's just funny, like, the way he acts and stuff.
He comes off as a peeping Tom, though he isn't. So she's always, like, tying him up and blindfolding him. And whenever she sees him, she freaks out. She's like, how'd you get there?
Yeah.
I'm ordering a different room. Actually, my favorite character from the show is, I think her name is Sarah. She's the apartment manager.
She was
And she's, like, all extreme and... She's into karate and whatnot, and she makes, like, all of these stereotypical assumptions, like, all Japanese people know karate, and she wants Zora to teach her moves and whatnot, and she's just really enthusiastic, funny, she's, like, supposed to be from England, she's my favorite character.
Yeah.
The whole show comes across really well. I guess you could, I wouldn't say it's exactly lighthearted, it's not really lighthearted, it's not really a drama, it's not really a comedy, it's kind of more like a slightly anime-fied version of real life of working at a stage. And so, while there's not really heavy drama, there's always drama present because of just the way that, you know, stage and, you know, all the stuff
drama,
works with...
play,
yeah, you know,
acting.
All the stuff works with that. And of course, comedic moments like Zora's friend, Zora the main character. Her one friend, her, like, father or grandfather was a big comedian, so she always wants to, like, do funny poses and whatnot on stage, and her friends are like, you are not going to do that, and stuff, and there's a lot of good teammate camaraderie and whatnot, and there's some lighthearted moments, you know. The whole show's really cute,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
It's not overly cute, though.
Yeah.
To just put it out of essence, Kaleido Star is really a sports anime, if you boil it down, just like Metal Fighters Miku. Sure uses futuristic battle suits, but really, in its essence, both of those shows are sports anime. And I have to admit, after watching these shows, I've come to the realization that, yes, NZ-17 he's a sports anime fan. I never thought it would be possible, because really, I'm not that interested in real-world sports, but these anime sports show, I don't know, a strong sense of teamwork, camaraderie, and the ones I've watched have, you know, cute girls in it, which doesn't hurt. But I really like this Kaleido Star, and I think I'm going to go and give this one a highly recommended. I'm really looking forward to the next volume, which we should be reviewing in a couple of episodes.
Yeah.
DB3?
Let me tell you a little bit about it. I watched it with my siblings. My brother, he doesn't really like girl anime. And my sister, she's into the girl anime, but they both wanted to watch this, the second volume. They're like, when are we gonna see it? When are we gonna see it? And I'm quite excited to see the next one too. So I'm gonna have to give this a highly recommended. I mean, it is up there, and you should definitely watch it.
All right. Well, next up we've got Maisha Nikaku, and then we'll be following up that with His and Her Circumstances, Volume 2, and then rounding it up with Samurai Champloo or Champloo, Volume 1 and 2. Okay, so first, Maisha Nikaku. Now, how many have heard of Rumiko Takahashi? Now, if you've been watching anime for any decent amount of time, you should have. She's the woman behind the world's most popular anime, including Inuyasha, Ramna One Half, Yurusei Yatsura, or Those Obnoxious Aliens, is the English version of the title, and also Maisha Nikaku. Now, Maisha Nikaku, of course, shares a number of trappings with the other shows that she has done. And I have to say that out of all the Rumiko Takahashi anime that I've seen, Maisha Nikaku is the most heartwarming of the lot. you could kind of even say that Maisa Nikkaku is the face that launched a thousand ships. Because this is really the show that launched the whole anime genre, if you will, of the lonely college guy trying to get into school and the girl falling for him. But Maisa Nikkaku isn't just an earlier version of Love Hina. There's a lot more to it. What it is basically, what's his name now? Godai or something like that. He's trying to go and get into college. He's failed his entrance exams already, and this is his second year attempting to get into it. Part of the reason that he can't get into college is his obnoxious neighbors. He has the one neighbor who she's always going around and revealing lingerie. She's always drinking and trying to get him to come and party with her. Of course, he doesn't want to because he wants to study for the exams, but she's always trying to force him to. She lives on one side of his apartment. On the other side of apartment lives this really nosy, secretive guy that's a total peeping Tom. And the problem with him is he keeps busting walls, holes in the walls between his and Godai's room so that he can go and peep at the neighbor that wears the lingerie all the time while she sleeps and whatnot. And this makes things horrible for Godai, one, because he keeps getting walls broken in, and that's rather hard to concentrate when that happens, but two, because she always thinks that it's him that's going and spying on her.
Oh, boy.
Then, on the first floor, happens to go and be this mother whose husband is basically a wage slave. You never really see him in the series. He's always off working. But she's always getting drunk and whatnot, and her little kid is like a really snot-nosed kind of a brat who's always getting in Godai's way. And so he's always dealing with this crap, and he's always threatening to go. He's like, oh, I'm going to leave this house. I've had it with you guys. And he's always, like, the character's joke, oh, you always say that about three times each month that you're going to move out, and you never do. Because it's actually the only place you can afford, because it's the cheapest place in town, because of all the really annoying neighbors. Well, much to, I don't know whether it was fortunate or unfortunate that the old manager got fed up with the city life and moved off, and the new manager showed up or not. I say it's fortunate because our boy Godai falls in love at first sight with this wonderful woman. He just instantly develops a crush on her, which is fortunate for him. Unfortunately, though, the only way that he's able to easily go and see her is by staying at the apartment, and so he has to continue to deal with these crazy neighbors of his. And so she moves in as the apartment manager, and over the first volume which I watched, you see Maisa Nikkaku, very long series. It's probably at least 36 episodes long.
Wow.
And it's been released by Animega? I'm not too sure. No, Viz. In three box sets. And this is a review of the first DVD of that box set, which had three discs in it. And over the course of the first DVD, he ends up failing another entrance exam, ends up having to study for another year. And she keeps encouraging him to go and succeed on his entrance exam. And everybody's saying, oh, you know, the manager is sweet on him. She's like, no, I'm not. I just want to see him succeed and whatnot. And, you know, of course, he's liking to think that she has a crush on him, too. But she can't go and bring herself to go and fall in love with him and develop a relationship with him because she still hasn't gotten over her husband who died and left her a very young widow. So, out of all of Rumiko Takahashi's shows, this one is the one that really goes and takes really good character development. I mean, okay, you can look at Ramna One Half, for example. All of her shows have really good, really gradual character development. However, in the other ones, I really feel that it's artificially extended. Like, they purposefully slow it down so that they can make more episodes. And in My Shinikaku, it moves at a steady, yet, you know, the casual Japanese gradual feet-dragging pace that we're so accustomed to of, you know, characters admitting their true feelings to each other. And by the end of the first volume, the manager admits to herself that, yes, she does have a thing for our boy Godai. And that's where it leaves off. And when I watched this DVD, it was really late at night. Let's say it was like 2 in the morning, for example.
Wow.
I started watching this because I'm like, all right, I need to get this watch so I can send it off, get the next DVD in the mail, since I run them through the mail. And, well, 2.5 hours later, I had watched the whole thing instead of just one episode like I originally intended. And it's just that good. And even after watching that much and that little amount of time, I was like, man, I really hope that next volume gets here soon. So it's a very good show. There's a reason why they say this is like the quintessential anime romantic comedy show, because it really endears itself to your heart, you know. So I'm going to give My Shinikaku Volume 1 a highly recommended rating. Alright, so now we've got His and Her Circumstances Volume 2. And I've been talking for quite a while now, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and have DV3 go ahead and make a fake review for this real quick.
All right, His and Her Circumstances Volume 2, Love and War Under the Cherry Blossoms. Well, in this, our two heroes, well, they have some competition for the other people, for their loves. And it's just sort of funny how it sort of gives a... There's no rules in love and war.
Yeah.
So it's just funny how they go about and fight for their love and try and win their love back for the other.
Not to mention all the high tech weaponry they used.
Well, I didn't want to give away any spoilers. Like the mechas they bring in. Wow, you put any Gundam fan to shame.
Yeah, I bet they have high-tech sounds to them, too. Okay, but anyways, real review of His and Her Circumstances, Volume 2. We're almost like 35 minutes worth of reviews here, so I'm going to do these last three DVDs faster than the first couple, I think.
Like shotgun speed?
Well, not quite shotgun speed, but for the sake of DB3 making a shotgun noise, we're going to go and shotgun these reviews. Well, now you got to shoot it.
I was going to wait till you're finished.
No, you got to shoot it. Real fast succession. And, okay, well, fine. Do your noise. Alright, that's better. Okay, so, we got His and Her Circumstances, Volume 2. Basically, this one continues to go and show the relationship of our two main characters go and develop further. It actually works out pretty well, and they're more or less done with going and getting their romance up to a certain level by the first episode of this volume, because after that summer vacation comes, which they didn't really think, but it just sprung up on them really fast. And because they've been trying to act as their natural selves, they've got a lot of people that are angry at them at first for going and basically lying to them about the way they really were. But then everybody eventually comes with terms to that by the characters basically saying, yes, I was acting that way because I wanted you to like me, but didn't you all benefit, didn't I help you, and you get better grades because of it, so on and so forth. And then because of that, they come forward, and it turns out that actually this one girl was jealous and had gone and positioned all the other schoolgirls against our heroine. And so now everybody hates her for using them. And I wish I could remember the characters' names right now. Anyway, so now our main heroine, she gets a bunch of friends, which she's never had any real friends before, but these girls start hanging out with her. And so the rest of the volumes is basically about her new friends, including the, like, sophomore that's a competition for her love, right? She's, like, 3 years younger than the guy. He always thinks of her as a little sister, and she wants more, so she's so frustrated that this girl comes out of nowhere and has it. And so, like, she's always this is just a funny moment from the DVD I have to share. She's always going, and they're, like, always fighting, and our main character, she's just, like, always easily going and avoiding her attacks or plans or whatever, and this, of course, just infuriates her, so she keeps trying further. And one episode, they're all going and sharing pictures from when they were little kids, right? And she gets this one cute little picture of her boyfriend when he was a little kid. And she actually gets it from his friend that they introduced in the first volume. And he's like, no, don't let her see that, because he's all embarrassed and everything. And so he asks her to go and give it back to him, which she won't. And then the boy, his friend, asks her to give it back to him so he can use it as blackmail against him. And she's like, no, I won't. And they're like, well, come on, give it here. And so she puts it in her mouth and gets it covered all over with her germs. And they're like, ew, that's gross, but his one friend still won't go and back off, so she puts it in her brassiere. And he's like, no, I can't go there, I'll get kicked out of school. So, anyways, the whole point this has to do with her competitor is that is that she sees the picture, and she's jealous that she has this picture, and so she takes it from her, and I forget whether she just takes it from her, like out of her locker, or if I think she accidentally rips it and destroys it somehow. And so before, where she was just taking her, like, as a, you know, somebody that wanted to be a rival but no match for her, she just goes off the deep end, right? And so she actively pursues her, like, Terminator style, going down alleys and knocking over stuff. The little girl's just like, oh, no, oh, no, and she's running, and she's trying to hide, and, like, whatever she hides, the girl shows up and whatnot. And so, like, she ends up, like, pulling on her hair and whatnot. It's just a really hilarious scene. So His and Her Circumstances continues to deliver with the second volume, which almost feels like a completely different creature since now they both have real friends and whatnot because of dropping their facade. So while it's quite different from the first volume, it's still very good. And so I give His and Her Circumstances Volume 2 a recommended, and it's another show I'm looking forward to seeing the next episode of.
Yay.
Now, DB3, you said that you saw some of the Samurai Champloo.
I just saw a clip of it, like...
Well, let's get your thoughts on what you saw of that clip. I can let you know whether or not it's what your impression led you to believe.
I liked it. It seemed like it was an upbeat smite. Like, it was a fast-paced show. It kept mm-hmm. you interested in what was going on, and you were sort of sitting at the edge of your seat wanting to see what was going to happen next.
Well, Samurai Champloo, and the great part about the shows, this show, by the way, done by the director of Cowboy Bebop, is the thing about his shows, you can go and describe the main plot line real simple. Basically, there's these two rival sword fighters. One is named Mugen. He's basically a freestyle and doesn't care about anything, just wants a challenge in a fight, kind of renegade. And the other one is Jin, and he is your classical, you know, reserved, quiet, honorable samurai type. That has a somewhat dark and mysterious past, which is revealed over both of these volumes a bit. And then you have Fu, the perky, upbeat, always smiling 15-year-old girl that both of them encounter in a restaurant. And you can see a lot of themes from Cowboy Bebop carry over to this show, like, for example, the people always starving and trying to find work to earn enough money for some food plot point that was so prevalent. They often go and act as swords for hire, as bodyguards or taking down somebody or whatnot. Well, Mugen and Jin do. Fu doesn't, though. And anyways, in the first episode, Mugen and Jin end up on the cutting block. They're going to be beheaded for going and standing up to some police or some such thing and killing them or whatnot. And they go and they work their way out of the situation. Now, Fu had seen them earlier at a restaurant, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but she told them that she'd give them food if they were to help her go and find the samurai that smells like flowers, sunflowers. And so anyways, they're going to be executed, and she, of course, doesn't want this to happen because they're her only way of finding the samurai. And so she goes, and they go and they are attempting to escape, and they're cutting down all of these police and whatnot instead of just escaping. And she shows up with her shirt bouncing all over and whatnot. and what's in her shirt are these bombs, and she starts hucking bombs down. And in the confusion, they all manage to escape with their lives. And so now they owe her a debt to go and find the samurai that smells like sunflowers. And every episode basically has a theme. There's some moving lines, like I think it was on the second volume, there was one that was basically a retelling of Frankenstein, but in the Japanese setting the show takes place in. And speaking of setting, this show, Cowboy Bebop, was influenced by jazzy bebop music. And that really reflects itself in the show. Whereas Samurai Champloo is reflected by Japanese urban culture. You see, most of the music is hip-hop when it's not just regular instrumental stuff. You see a lot of analogies for, like, MCs and other, you know, popular culture things in Japan. Like, one of the episodes has a guy using the sword of his hilt as a microphone, you know, other crazy stuff like that. And this show doesn't attempt to be historically accurate. You know, it's going for the style points that Cowboy Bebop is so famous for having. And so it can take itself a little bit more relaxed because it's not trying to go and fit with actual history. And just some of the episodes are really well done. They continue to go, and you can see a lot of reflections in Cowboy Bebop in this one. For example, one episode of Cowboy Bebop has this boy that's running drugs, I believe it is,
yeah,
to go and get money to go and have an operation for his sister, to go and have her vision restored because he's gone blind due to an allergy. And that's almost the same exact episode happens in Samurai Champloo, where this boy happened to find some heroin, and he was had been doing petty theft and whatnot to go and pay for the medicine for his mother, who had some sort of ailment that only a really expensive operation or medicine could cure, and he was going to sell this heroin to go and pay for that. So, as you can see, a lot of similarities between the two shows, even though the musical stylings that they take their inspiration from are quite different. And all in all, Samurai Champloo has a lot of similarities with Cowboy Bebop, but also a lot of differences. You know, it, like I mentioned earlier, there's a rivalry going on between the two swordsmen, and that carries over from the rivalry that Spike had with that one cowboy guy that shows up in Cowboy Bebop. And Fu is kind of like the opposite of Faye. Instead of being a sexy bounty hunter that only watches out for herself, and always like drinking and betting on races and whatnot, Fu is a good, happy, moralsome, innocent girl who just always finds herself up in bad situations. And you know, she's the good-hearted one. She's kind of like the glue that holds them all together, kind of like Jet was the glue that held the Cowboy Bebop group together. And I really like her. She's a real cutie, and just she kind of brings the whole show together, because without her, I guess there wouldn't be any plot to the show, number one. But also, it just works well with the three of them. And that's the other thing, is that DB3, did you play Jet Grind Radio for the Dreamcast?
No.
That shows a lot of the graffiti stylings of Japan and the culture and whatnot. And if you played that game, Samurai Champloo, you'll find a lot of similar feel and graphics to it. The whole opening to Samurai Champloo is very stylish and actually draws its inspiration from both, ironically in a sense, traditional ancient Japanese drawings from like the 18th century, and graffiti from like Tokyo's modern day streets, which lends it a really cool, unique style. So I'm gonna say, you know, the hard part about giving ratings to Samurai Champloo is that on the one hand I really like it, but it's not like I rapidly like it. Like I can't wait for the next volume. It's like Cowboy Bebop. It's cool. People like it. It's laid back, but it's not something that you're like, oh my god, my life will, you know, be just ruined if I don't catch the next episode. With Cowboy Bebop, you can come in and go as you please with this because of its episodic nature. Samurai Champloo has a much, you kind of got to catch all the episodes to go and see as they collect clues about this Sunflower Samurai, but it's also very episodic. So the show, while cool and addicting, it's not something that you can't live without. So I'm going to just go ahead and give both of these volumes a recommended, because, well, like I've mentioned the things before, but also the stylings of it aren't everybody's thing. If they don't like hip-hop or they can't, you know, tolerate it, then they probably won't care much for the show when it's trapping. So that was a lot of anime to review. Matter of fact, that was 46 minutes worth of anime reviews. So let's go and break it up with something. Would you like to go and advertise on ASA Radio? It's really easy. All you have to do is give us money, and we'll put your message on the air. Is it really that simple? Yes, it is. But in case you want to go and get more details on how they'll take your hard-earned bucks so that you can get the buying power of our audience at your disposal, just go and visit us, and if you're the audience, I didn't just say that, at www.nz17.com/ASA Radio/advert, and you'll find all the gory details on how your company can maximize your profits by fully virtualizing your targeted audience.
Fan mail, 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 fan mail!
Alright, well, this has just been one really exciting episode.
I'm still awake, at least.
Oh, hey, there's a plus. Okay, so, we've got anime news. I shit you. We don't have anime news, I'm just kidding. We have some fan mail. This first fan mail comes from DB3. DB3, would you do the honors of reading this fan mail?
What? You have a fan mail from me?
I know. It's almost as though we're in some sort of weird time-space continuum where your fan mail got read while you were on the show instead of when you were gone.
Well, it says, ASO fan mail, subject, ball and chain. DB3 writes, ASO Radio. So have you ever felt like you belong to a chain gang? Well, that is how I feel at times. Like the last couple of days, for example. I seem to never leave my place of work.
Now, it should be noted by listeners, this email is not from the guy.
And alas, I am once again unable to participate in the euphoric bliss of ASO Radio. But with this standing news, I do have good news.
You know, seriously, it is not from the guy as much as it sounds like it is.
I have convinced those higher beings, my boss, that since school is out, I can work more daytime. And hence, I will be able to make the show once again.
Oh man, I can't wait for that.
So I will be back. Your friendly voice, from the computer, DB3.
Ah, sweet man. It's going to be great when DB3 gets back on this.
What?
Hey, that was quick.
It's not my fault you guys didn't run the show like I thought you were going to.
Well, you know, OMD's been busy on the website. Okay, so next up we have an email from Stone Monkey. Subject, fan art submission. Stone Monkey first wrote, I have fan art I would like to submit for the contest. Very straightforward. Then I gave him instructions on how to do it, and he sent us the fan mail, which I'm not going to read the long address that the original image is hosted at, simply because it will be featured in our fan art section of the artist alley. And anyways, not too much to Stone Monkey's, fan mail in itself, but we'll go ahead and talk a bit about the picture he sent in, which of course is an entry into our fan art contest, which we have every month, and of course I encourage all of our listeners out there to go and enter our contest, as the more fan art, the merrier we are, and the more competition, the healthier thing is, because everybody keeps trying to improve, because if we only get one fan art, per month, then we're only going to, we'll have lots of automatic winners, first of all, so good news for those people.
If we only have one entry a month, we should make it like an every other month thing.
Yeah, maybe we should have a minimum number of fan art that has to be submitted, and then we do the thing, but that might discourage people. So we'll stick with the one per month for now.
For now.
Okay, so here we are looking at the image here. It has Bambi dabbling the heels of her feet into a river stream. And she's sitting under some trees, presumably in the fall, given that the tree's leaves are this orangish-brown color. And,
well, you know, when I first look at this picture,
the willow in the water,
I think of G.I. Jane or something.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I guess it kind of has a feel of that. Kind of reflective thing, you know. You know, Bendy's thinking about something, probably looking at her reflection in the water. And, I bet the grass tickles. No, but anyway. So, thank you very much, Stone Monkey, for the fan art that you submitted. Like I said earlier in the show, we always appreciate the fan art and fan mail that we get sent in.
You know, I wish I could draw.
Yeah?
Yeah. I would like to win this contest.
Oh, it's a great contest, because every four episodes, we announce a winner for, quote-unquote, that month of fan art entries. And,
well, right now, Stone Monkeys are on the top of the pack.
Because they get a pick from our Aisha Radio Mystery Prize Vault, which is very cool indeed.
Yeah.
And, of course, here's the thing. People got to get that fan art in mighty quick, because that you know, Mystery Prize Vault, the content is always changing. Who knows? We might run out because we get so many good art.
Yes.
So get your fan art in is all I can say. Well, also that, it, we hope you're listening, Keyman, wherever you are. Okay, so anything else you want to add to this fan mail section, DB3?
Thanks for the fan mail, guys. Thanks for the for the fan mail, Stone Monkey.
Well, you know, DB3 wrote in, too.
Yeah, but no one really cares about him.
Nah, that's true. He's such a loser. But I hear he's pretty good at pool.
I've heard he's almost as good as you, Andrew.
Ah, yes. Well, as we all know, pool's a loser sport.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tell you, man, one day we're just going to hit somebody wrong on the nerve, and they're going to send in some hate mail.
But well,
hate mail
really
is still fan mail in my eyes. Well, DB3, before we wrap up this fan mail section, how about you go and shout out some encouragement to people to go and send in some fan mail?
So, you know how you always wish you could impact the world? Well, this is the way you...
Change things for the better?
This is the best way we could tell you how to do it. Write into ASL Radio, and we will help you with this problem.
Mm-hmm.
We will touch all those anime fans across the world, and you will make a difference.
Not only that, but you have higher odds of us going and doing your fan mail on this show than you have it being animated into a strong, bad email. So,
yes.
You know, we pretty much read all the fan mail. We've got some
have we ever not read
years.
One?
Well, a couple of times we gave the good parts version of Anthony Max Hernandez email. Outside of, like,
Anthony Max, if you're listening, come back, man.
Yeah. Outside of a couple of just mean-spirited ones or just dumb ones or whatnot, we generally read everything. Of course, generally, when somebody writes in a mean one, like that one about the Simpsons, we really rip them a new one anyway, so it's all good. Okay, so that's more or less...
Hey, Crazy Simpsons guy, write us again!
Yeah, man, tell you what... You're so funny, we make the funny of the fun me man who's so dumb. Send in your fan mail if you can, and now it's time for another word from our quote-unquote sponsors.
Man, I can't beat her! I can't beat this queen of the evil planet Andor! What am I supposed to do?
Ludicrously impossible when there's only one. Ludicrously impossible, your situation's not fun. What to do when you're on the run? Ludicrously impossible solutions, here's the fun. All you have to do is turn to page 87, how to get away from the High Queen, or page 42, how to go and resurrect your dead friend. That's right, our book will go and show you how to get out of any situation. So remember, when you're in a ludicrously impossible situation, there's only one solution that can help you. Ludicrously impossible solutions, that's the one. Ludicrously impossible to get fun.
Oh, baby, a hot spot.
So this week, we're going to be doing a hot spot, and DB3 has a really good video game review for us. DB3, take it away.
Well, this week for the video game review, I'll be going over the Blow Up Barney game. You get old copies of the Barney videos, You shove them in a microwave, turn on the microwave, then you get your trusty...
Turning it on important to this game.
Yes, it is. It is. Then you get your trusty shotgun, and you shoot it in the microwave while it's going.
Right.
And basically, you do that over and over again.
And what determines who the winner is?
The winner is the one who can make him start saying, let me live, oh, let me live.
I see. And what do you rate this game?
I give this game a top recommendation.
I see. And how many players can there be had on this game?
You can get as many players as you really want. It can start getting a little hectic once you get over about 5, because there's not that much space around the microwave, and if you miss, well, there goes your friend's arm, or maybe his head or something.
You shot me! You shot me in the arm!
I'm not dead yet!
Alright, well, thanks for that review, DB3.
Yeah, no problem.
I think I'm going to take the hot spot in a different direction now.
Oh. So it wasn't good enough?
Oh, no, it was great. It was great. I was just hoping it was more like a video game, possibly one originally from Japan.
Oh.
That would have worked out a bit better.
Why didn't you say something in the first place? I mean, this is only an anime show.
Well, you know. Did I review that Neo Geo Pocket game called Dark Arms 1999?
I don't think so.
Ah. I could review that. I could tell people about our exciting new ASO Radio subscription plan.
Ooh, the subscription plan?
The subscription plan.
The subscription plan.
The subscription plan.
Oh my. Has it come to that already?
It has. But you know what? I think I'm going to reward our listeners. I'm going to go ahead and review the video game anyways and tell them about the subscription plan.
What have they done to these? I feel honored to hear both of these.
Oh, I imagine so. Especially since you've already heard me talk about it before.
They don't know that.
It's like a fine wine. It's even better the second, like, you know, the longer it... You know what? I'm just going to get on with it. My analogy fell apart. I apologize, people. Okay, so...
You're falling apart at the seams.
Yeah. It's from all the food that I eat. Getting too fat. Yep. I mean, at Acer Radio, we're starving, and we need your help to support us and support our site.
So to help with that, we've come up with the subscription.
That's right, people. We have brought in our exciting new club, Club NZ. Now, what's Club NZ, I hear DB3 ask?
What is Club NZ? Why is it called Club NZ? Why don't I get a name on it?
Because, dang it, it's called NZ17 Productions, not DB3 Incorporated.
Oh.
Okay, so...
Club NZ. What is Club NZ?
Okay, I'll tell you what Club NZ is, but only because you asked politely.
Please?
Oh, well, now that you said please, I can.
Oh. I hate you! Calm down!
You know, I'm sorry, you know, it's all my fault, DB3. Let's make it better by telling you about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Club NZ is a special members-only section of our website. And it's not just the Acer Radio website. Oh, no. We've bound together, joined together with Macro OV, the comic, and Annie Fanaticu, the Acer Radio spinoff, which has hundreds of reviews, literally hundreds of reviews by Warp Shadow.
Good job, Warp Shadow.
He's actually done over 300 reviews for that website. Very good sites, very good people contributing to them. So, Club NZ, what is it? Okay, basically... DB3, would you go and tell our listeners the tallies from the money that we've made from our merchandise sales?
Yeah, I think I can count that high.
Uh-huh.
Zero.
And tell them the tallies for the donations to the site?
Ooh. That's a zero.
And tell them how much money we've made off of the prize raffles that we did a while back.
Oh, I remember that. I was quite surprised at the amount we made. I mean... With such an astonishing amount. Didn't it amount to about $0, NZ?
Yes, and 0 cents.
Oh, and 0 cents.
Yes, so as you can see, our past plans have not been entirely fruitful. So what we're doing, number one, of course, we're having the ads on the show, but two, we're having Club NZ. Subscribers can subscribe to Club NZ for either $2 a month for more financially strapped members, or they can go ahead and subscribe for a whole year in advance for $20. Each month, they will go and get Club NZ exclusive features. So how's it work? Well, first, people go and they sign up for the forum with a username and password. Then they go and they give us a donation, a subscription donation to become a member of Club NZ. Then, after they go and they subscribe to Club NZ, they will be added to our special group on our forum of Club NZ members. These people will get exclusive access to the Club NZ message board, where they can go and chat amongst themselves on their own private message forum, where they can talk about our show, their personal lives, whatever happens to be going on. And so that's their own little place of the web to call their own. But there's more to it than just that. Club NZ members also get to listen to a very special episode of ASO Radio that comes out every month called ASO Radio Unplugged, where we go and we tackle a particular issue, talk about it in a freestyling format, and give all the viewpoints on it, such as fan subs and dub versus sub, you know, Japanese versus English, and all sorts of crazy typical, you know, anime topics such as that. Also, there's what's known as Anifanatic U Prime, which is a special editorial fanfic written by Warp Shadow exclusively for Club NZ members, not to mention the Macro OV specials, which include special comics done by creator Link1986 exclusively for people that have joined up for Club NZ. But that's yet not all.
There's more?
There is more.
Oh, man.
For you see, Club NZ members get access to ASO Radio episodes before the general public gets to listen. For example, this episode is episode number 74. Right now, do you know what regular ASO Radio members are listening to, DB3?
Episode 69.
Could be, but most likely they're listening to episode 71. ASO Radio Club NZ subscribers get to listen to the newest ASO Radio episodes as soon as they become available, unlike the general public, which has to wait 4 weeks. So while Club NZ members are listening to this show now, other people will have to wait 3 weeks before they get to listen to episode 74.
At that point, some people may ask, what's the deal with the fan art?
Why would they ask that?
Because the... when is it already be announced, and they'd still be thinking, I still have a chance?
Well, that's a good point, DB3. Generally...
they could go for the next month.
No. See, at the end of our fan art contest every month, we go and we email all the entrants to let them know whether they won or not. And that way they know ahead of time whether or not they won, whether they're a subscriber to our show or not. So, in essence, Club NZ members get access to our exclusive Club NZ forum, special rankings on the Club NZ, on the NZ17 Productions forum. They get exclusive access to ASO Radio Unplugged and Fanatic Q Prime and the Macro OV specials. And to top it all off, they get to listen to ASO Radio episode weeks in advance. Personally, I think that's well worth $2 a month. So, for all of those people out there that want to help NZ17 Productions and ASO Radio and go and help us improve our show, go ahead, join Club NZ, and welcome to the elite. At the Goddess Helpline, we believe that everybody on Earth could use a little bit of help. A little bit of help from a goddess. At the Goddess Helpline, we can help you out if you have any wish in your heart that is pure. If you want to go and destroy the world, we can do that. But we don't like dealing with that sort of customer. If you want to order top ramen, that can be done. A billionaire? No problem. If you want to win the Indianapolis 500, we can manage that too. Anything's possible with the Goddess Helpline. Remember, our number is 1-800-555-GODDESS. That's 1-800-555-GODDESS. And we'll be right over for an immediate consultation. All right, so thanks goes out to our sponsors, the Goddess Helpline, for going and help us sponsor the show.
You know, when they came to us, we should have asked for more listeners.
When they came to us, we should have asked for a wish. Because I'll tell you this much, DB3. If ONZ had his choice on things, he wouldn't have been asking for more listeners. He would have asked for some means of getting more listeners, but I think that there would have been a bit more money involved as well. Alright, so anyways, I promised a review of a video game. Curiously enough,
you forgot?
It's going to be in a video game review format.
Oh.
And I didn't forget, it was just kind of delayed. Okay, so I'm going to be reviewing Dark Arms 1999 for the Neo Geo Pocket Color. An import game.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
For the Neo Geo.
That's
how
right.
Many of you remember what that is? Raise your hand.
If you're sure. The Neo Geo Pocket Color was a handheld color video game system that came out about the time that the Game Boy Color came out. Actually, it came out a little bit before that, if I remember correctly. And, of course, as we all know, in the handheld arena, Nintendo's a 800-pound gorilla juggernaut that cannot be stopped. And so the Neo Geo Pocket Color was around for a total of, 1 year. And in that time, though, some really great games came out. And one of those games that was actually released here in America, but I got the import copy because that's just the way things worked out.
Yeah.
Plus all of the Neo Geo Pocket Color games, except for, like, RPGs, were already multilingual anyway, so somebody can get an import, play it on their American system or whatever system without any regional lockout, and it would already be in their language.
Wow.
So, pretty awesome system. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I could do a review of the Neo Geo Pocket Color system, but if I did that, you know, we'd run out of hotspot material that much faster, so we won't do that. Okay, so, Dark Arms 1999 is basically about this kid who makes a pact with the demon, and because he wants to become like the most powerful weapons master ever. So he makes a pact with this demon, and he goes to the underworld. And in the underworld, he goes about slaying monsters. And the game, you could kind of think of it like a monster raising game,
mm-hmm.
Except instead of raising monsters, you're raising weaponry. And what you do is first you find an egg. And then you find an Oum. An Oum is like a type of weapon, like a pistol or a flame cape or something like that, right? So you need one egg and you need one Oum, put them together, bam, you got a weapon. And what's interesting in this is it has RPG elements, but your character doesn't gain experience. The weapons gain experience.
Oh.
So every time you use your weapons, he can have three weapons equipped on him at any time. And when you play, you go off and let's say you go in a field and you kill 30 monsters. All of the weapons get an equal amount of experience and they level up. Of course, the higher the level your weapons are, the more points it takes to level them up, because if that wasn't the case, it probably wouldn't be all that challenging.
Yeah.
So throughout the game you find several different Oum or weapon types, and you raise up several different weapons. The whole game basically is going about either killing or capturing monsters. When you kill the monsters, your weapons get experience. When you capture monsters, you can then feed them to the weapons. And each monster is worth so many points. And once you go and you reach the necessary required number of evolution points for your gun, it will evolve to the next level. For example, we'll take the pistol from earlier. If you go and you give it enough, then it will evolve into a submachine gun. Then you give it some more, and it will evolve into a full machine gun. You give it some more, and then it will evolve into a protective machine gun, which is basically the same as the regular one, except it encases your body in an armor that's part of the gun and protects you from damage.
Wow.
And, of course, getting experience for these guns will increase their attack power. Evolving them only increases their potential, but going and giving them monsters actually increase their power. And you come across some really cool weapons. One of them is actually a tentacle weapon. You, like, whip out these tentacles to attack things. It almost sweeps like a broom, actually. And each of the monsters has an element. It's either a neutral element, fire, earth, or ice. and whatever the last monster that you feed to your weapon's element is, then your weapon will obtain that element. So, like, if you fed an ice one to your weapon, this last thing you fed it would then have the ice attribute, and so it would, if you were fighting enemies that were ice, it would be weaker against them. But if they were fire or lightning, then it would be more powerful against
them.
Makes
sense.
And so, really fun game. There's not a lot to it, which is both a blessing and a curse. A curse because some people might not find a lot of enjoyment of just going around and killing monsters, powering up your weapons strong enough so that you can get to the next area. But I found a lot of fun out of it because it's not overly complicated. You can just sit down, play it for a bit, come back to it later. Because really, you can save the game. The game uses a map feature, kind of like the Grandia games or Super Mario World.
Mm-hmm.
But unlike Super Mario World or Grandia, you can go to any location that you've been to before just by selecting it from the map.
Wow.
So you can go back to old areas, capture monsters and whatnot to go and build up your weapons. And there's also a bit of a storyline along the way that's pretty cool, but as most handheld pocket games, don't have much story. I don't want to really say too much about it, except at one point in the game, you have a major decision to make, which affects the way that the rest of the game plays out. And once you actually beat the game, then you unlock this special dungeon. 54 floors this dungeon has. Very tough. Every 10 floors, you have a boss fight. And so it's quite the challenge. Every 10 floors after the boss fight, you actually have the option of warping back up to the surface. And I played through some of this bonus dungeon, and just after going through 10 floors and warping back up to the surface, I got something like 4,000 experience points, which leveled up all my weapons by at least like 5 levels each.
Wow.
So it's that bonus dungeon's very challenging, puts a lot more replay to this game if you don't just want to raise the level of the weapons that you have. And so it's a really fun game. It kind of harkens back to like older game simplicity, and so it gets a lot of mad props for that. So it's got some nice music, some nice sound effects, you know, nothing truly outstanding in either department, but both very appropriate. And the control handles really well. You can move in 8 directions, you know, up, down, left, right, and diagonals. And so you control really well. Sometimes some of the enemies can't move diagonally, so you have an advantage over there. Sometimes they can. Later on, a lot of the enemies can even fight and do homing attacks and whatnot on
wow.
you. So it gets pretty challenging to capture those, to capture them especially. And all in all, it's a really great little game for the Neo Geo Pocket Color. You can pick up the system by itself for like $20 these days, and probably get this game for less than $5. So, I mean, for $25, you can have a really great gaming experience. And I think I'm going to give this one... Well, as an aside, I signed my little sister up for Kenpo karate practice. And this was the perfect little game to play while I waited 45 minutes every day for her to go and finish up her training. So that's probably influencing my score a little bit. And I think I'm going to give this game a highly recommended,
wow.
just because it's really fun just to go around. I mean, you can almost say the game has no point. I mean, the whole point of the game, really, there's a whole story that everything you work through, but it's just raise your weapons and make them more powerful. And so it may not have a lot of appeal for female gamers, you know, that might not... like, I'm sure if they like weapons, you know, they're going to like this game. You know, anyone that does. But it's just a lot of fun just running around, outthinking the enemies, raising up the weapons, going through the initial storyline. And if you haven't had enough by that point, you got this big old, you know, multi-level dungeon that's bigger than all the rest of the game put together. So, yeah, I think I'm going to give this a highly recommended.
All right, then.
Okay, well, that brings us to the end of our show.
It's over.
And I probably would have snuck in one more of our falsies, our fake commercials, in between the video game review that we just did and the closing. Two problems to that, though. Can you guess what they are, DB3?
We want to save some for later?
Well, yes, that's one of them. There's actually a couple. I think there's more than two, so...
This show's already way long.
Oh, yes. It's very long now. I think, when the people were missing us from being gone, they'll, the show will go and say, you know what, I'm glad you're back, but let's cut down a little.
Yeah, I think we should do that.
but the other reasons are, one, I didn't forget, I delayed the video game review and put an ad right there. And the other one, yeah, BB3 more or less covered it. The show went really long, and we want to save a couple of those commercials for later. So, yeah, this is like the longest show we've had since probably T-Man was on the show.
Oh no, don't you remember the show where we went over Nandesuthan?
BB3, that show never happened, okay? That's our Black Sheep show. We all promised that we wouldn't ever mention that show. Because I'm not really too comfortable with the fact that we actually even did that show. I mean, we went... Is that the same one where we had the Dory Decimon funny?
I don't think so. No.
Because, you know, both of those shows I'm kind of sort of not too proud of. Yeah, but they make great, you know, they make great fodder for making fun of. So, you know, it's not completely a waste, but... I'd rather just pretend it didn't happen. So, anyways, everybody, join us next week for episode 75 of ASO Radio, because it's our very special episode. Every 25 episodes, we have ourselves our special, you know, episode show.
And you know what? I'll make a promise. It will not be this long, and it will be very upbeat.
It'll be shorter and sweet.
It'll be very sweet.
And not only that, like I said, fireworks, and we're all going to come in formal dress. Tuxedos and everything.
Yes, it's going to be a ball of a time.
As a matter of fact, we'll even have the audience on the show. That's right. You fans at home will be listening because the fans make the show. So anyways, we better wrap things up, because if we keep going, we'll just have to split the show into two and call that episode 75. So, for ASO Radio, episode 74, this is NV17
and DB3
signing out.